when the right people come together at the right moment, when they care almost as much about winning as they do about each other, they can become the best of the best.
Welcome to the best soccer show.
The best soccer show in the whole world.
We go! It's the best soccer show. Jason Davis, Jared Dubois. We're live talking soccer in America and other places too.
This is a hard night for me to talk about soccer, dude. I'm not going to lie. I'm heavily distracted.
Heavily distracted by what? What are you distracted by?
My galaxy's playing, if you can call what they do these days playing.
Come on. It's not the sky's not falling.
They're losing at home again right now.
Okay, well, that's not good.
To Houston.
That's not good. Okay.
And then in addition to that, my favorite disc golfer is five strokes up with four to play.
No,
trying to see if he can see this out right here at the OTB Open.
No, look, every now and then we roll into the show with no plan. I mean, we've been doing this thing for 10 years or whatever. I don't know how many shows we've actually done, and it wasn't continuously 10 years, but we've been doing this for 10 years. Jared and I have been doing our witty repartee for a long time. And what happens is we don't actually plan the non-soccer elements of the show. We just get into whatever pops into somebody's head, like Jared's talking whatever, nonsense. We didn't plan that. I'm not letting us get railroaded by any frisbee folk talk on this show this evening.
There's some heavy chain bangs going on.
No, we don't need any of that. That's what I'm saying. With so much soccer to get into, I want to tell you a story about my day, because we're going to talk national team roster. We have to, right? That dropped. We now know who Greg Berhalter is calling up for these June games. And, you know, I don't know if there's any major surprises in here, but there are a couple of interesting names. And obviously we're going to talk about absences because of injury and the like, and obviously still doghouse or whatever. But today, I went to church, Jared. That's a thing I do in my family. I know you're.
Wait, I can't talk about frisbees, but you can talk about church.
No, this is going to lead somewhere about soccer.
Okay,
so just hold on. So the priest was saying, "No, that's not doing that." After church, my wife goes. She looks at me, we've had the turn in the weather. I know for you. There are no seasons in Southern California. You just go from like spring to summer to back to spring to back to summer. Like, you guys don't even have anything close to actual seasons.
We also have a drought.
Well, that's okay. It's thunderstorming here. We went from 65, 70 degree highs to 95 degrees in the last couple of days. And that means thunderstorms and all that stuff. So, but today was hot. So my wife, before the thunderstorms hit, my wife looks at me. She's like, I want a margarita. And I was like, well, I can say no to that. Let's not go have a margarita. So we leave the church. We go to her favorite Mexican spot. Now, I know it probably doesn't meet the standard of Jared Dubois Southern California Mexican food. I'm not getting into that. It is probably near authentic Mexican, cooked by Salvadorians, but I'm not going to get into that. They have a margarita. We had some food. It was very nice. And I realized, sitting there, oh, look, it's the last day of the Premier League season. All the games are happening right now. All simultaneous.
You're telling me as a professional guy on the radio, you didn't realize that ahead of time?
No, I knew.
Like, it dawned on you?
I did remember. I'm saying I remembered to turn my phone on to the game that I wanted to watch, which, of course, I mean, what game was I going to pick, right? I had to pick Jesse Marsh. I had to.
You feel respect for the Gegner.
I had to go with the American trying to keep Leeds United up. And I put the phone on, and we're sitting outside, and Thiago's there. He's teething hardcore right now. So he'll go from, like, blah, 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 saying all the words he knows, to crying because he's got the pain.
Temperature.
Yeah, and the spiking fever and everything.
Yeah.
I got the 14-year-old there. He's doing what 14-year-olds do. And I'm watching the game, and this is late. You know, by the time I'm really able to stare at it, we're talking 70th minute. I watched Leeds United give up the goal that brought the game level, right? So, obviously, they need to better Burnley's result, and they're playing Brentford away to Brentford. And it was a lovely header to equalize.
And Burnley had Newcastle, right?
At that point, Burnley was down 2-0 to Newcastle, but then they got one back. So, I'm watching the game, and the announcer says, Burnley has scored. I don't know how they talk. Burnley has scored, and it's now just one goal. Leeds, it's getting tense here. Leeds United. And then Jack Harrison scores his goal. Now, I am watching the game. I'm engrossed in this, and there's families all around me. It's like a brunch vibe at the Mexican
spot. Is anyone else vibing on this at all?
No. Nobody knows what's happening except me when I go, oh! Like that. I go, oh! When Jack Harrison scores. And the whole section.
Oh, you were there all the way to the 94th minute then, huh?
I watched the whole damn thing. So all the people in the area, like, oh my God, what's happening? Like, because I jumped. My wife is like, really? In public? You're going to do that in public? And then the best part, one of the waiters looks over and goes, goal? Was it goal? And I'm like, yeah, there was a goal. That's damn right. There was a goal. So
I love that the Mexican restaurant in Virginia is Mexican enough to have some soccer on, but
no. This is
Virginia enough to have no one watch it.
I was watching on my phone.
Oh, it wasn't even on in the restaurant?
No, we were outside. We were sitting outside. Oh, okay. We were enjoying the reasonably
because
warm,
if
nice
you go food. Into it, like most Mexican restaurants here on the weekend, some soccer is on the TV.
This place is a little bit more of the bougie white people go to it Mexican restaurant. I think it has some reasonable chops in terms of the food. There will be soccer on in the bar, but it's not like that kind of play. It's not like
what I'm excited about is that I almost feel like there was a binary situation here. If Leeds loses and goes down, Jesse Marsh is the worst. If they win or they sit pass through, he's great.
Yeah.
You know, and the honest truth is somewhere in between. What I dig about what he's done so far, what, five goals in after the 90th minute in the time he's been there? Like, the team fights.
They do. It's one of those things, though. It's like, how much of that is Jesse Marsh and how much of that is individual performance? And he can't control Jack Harrison scoring.
If you do it enough,
right.
You know, but you have to have desire. There's a reason why they called it Fergie time and not Man U time, right?
Right. I mean, look, obviously a pattern of success reflects on the coach. And I saw Matt Doyle tweet out a stat. It was his expected goals. And I know you don't go in for the fancy statistics, Jared. You just can't handle the math of it all. But he was pointing out that the expected goal difference with Jesse Marsh as opposed to Marcelo Bielsa is dramatically different, right? Dramatically different in terms of they don't create as many chances as they did under Bielsa, but what they've done a lot better is defend.
Defense,
and that means that their margin for mistakes is much smaller, so they're able to stay in games.
And if I was a Leeds fan, I would look at this and think, and listen, I don't have the history or anything like that. I'm talking very loosely right now. I would take and run the fact that Jesse has them believing that they can get a result in any game all the way to the end. As a starting point, I think that's one of the best starting points a coach can do in a 2-month span.
Yeah.
Now he gets an offseason, a transfer window, and now you're going to judge him by something else in the new year. Can he get the players in to play the game he wants to play, and would they still buy in when it's his roster?
Yeah, sure.
And it's a lot of work to start the season.
There's a lot of work.
But I'd be happy with the fact that he accomplished the main thing was stay up.
Yeah.
By any means necessary, up.
I talked to a guy, name escapes me right now, Adam something, BBC Leeds. Sandberg. I talked to him on my radio show, Jared. I don't know if you knew that I have a radio show, but sometimes I get to talk to fancy soccer people.
Like the Dunseth?
WNBC. WNBC.
Say the Dunseth? He's the only Dunseth I know. So, yeah, it must be. But, you know, he was talking about they had been targeting Jesse for the job for like 2 years, kind of knowing that Bielsa's time was going to eventually be up at Leeds, right? That as much as you are happy that Marcelo Bielsa picks Leeds and takes them up, the guy's not going to be around forever, right? Not in terms of he's going to die. He's just going to move on because that's what Marcelo Bielsa does. So they'd already identified Jesse as a potential replacement. But this was not the circumstances under which he was supposed to get the job, right? It was kind of going to be
season, probably,
like a Tata Martino kind of thing where he ends the season and then rides off to the sunset. And then they might have tapped Jesse Marsh for the job. So he's had to make a roster that spent, what, 3-4 years under Bielsa doing it one way and change them, not dramatically, but change them enough that they had to figure out how to play in a different way under Jesse Marsh. And I think that means that the degree of difficulty is not something we can really put our finger on because, and look, I mean, I don't know, I just put the stats up because Gavin shared them, the ones I was talking about from the expected goals difference, but also look at the records. So under Bielsa, 5-13-8 with a negative 31 goal differential. Under Jesse, 4-5-3. He won one fewer game in whatever that difference is, right? Whatever the difference, the large, huge number of
26 games.
So, yeah, for Jesse, that's 12 games. So, 12 out of 38. So, 26 matches for Bielsa. And that's the difference. I mean, it tells you that he did the job.
It's just a start.
I'm not crowning the guy, you know, king of Leeds or anything. I'm not saying that he's going to get guaranteed a full season next year, right? Because like you said, now you're going to have to figure out how to make a transfer policy work. We're starting
to get some details of what it's going to start, like what the first piece it might be. And listen, one question for you is, which came first? Like, this is a chicken the egg scenario. Was Brandon Aaronson always in the background because they knew they were going to grab Jesse Marsh in the offseason, and this is the guy he said that he maybe wanted to work around? Or was Aaronson in the deal no matter what?
So we had heard that they made a really hard run at Aaronson in January, right? That they made a $20+ million offer for Aaronson, and Salzburg said no, partly because Salzburg was still, they were still in the Champions League. I mean, they knew what the reality was, but they thought, hey, why not keep our best team together and give us a full shot? I don't think that Aaronson going to Leeds is predicated or was predicated on Jesse Marsh arriving. I think he was probably already a target. Because regardless of Bielsa or Jesse, he fits their systems. Like, he fits their ideas. Yeah. The guy runs more than anybody in the world, essentially. And that's what you have to do in a high-press system like Bielsa or like Jesse. So Gavin says he's a good fit. The only problem I have with Brendan Aaronson going to Leeds United is the kid is going to be on his butt a lot. And we see how that affects Pulisic, right? Pulisic is not a pressing dynamo like Aaronson is, but he's the kind of player that, you know, can be physically marked out of a game if you keep knocking him down. Are they going to, you know, is he going to have a problem with the physicality of the Premier League? But the only thing that I have to worry about.
I hear we may have a gentleman on the line that wants to talk about Mr. Marsh.
Yeah, we got a couple of calls. I've been eating up the time. So let's go to Jason in Virginia first, who I think has been waiting. Jason, what's up? Okay. I don't hear Jason. Do we know why we don't hear Jason?
I don't know, but I feel like Nick wants us to go to
Hello,
Jose.
Can you hear me?
Oh, there Hello? He is. Yes, go ahead.
Hey, good evening, gentlemen. Virginia Beach, to be specific, is where I am. I am wondering, especially with Leeds United staying up now, could Jesse be looking at signing multiple Americans over the summer months, perhaps even a bonsai attempt at Pulisic?
No. I think that I'm of two minds on this, Jared. That okay, Aaronson, fine, because Aaronson is a talented attacking player who can press and runs a lot and fits the system, right?
And Leeds has already been accustomed to thinking he's coming. This has been sown for quite some time when Bielsa was.
I don't think that Jesse Marsh should be like the guy who gets in the club and then comes back and tells the bouncer, "Let all my boys in." I don't think he should be doing that. Like, I don't think that's the move here. And I say that knowing that there are probably a couple of Americans who could still who might fit at Leeds and might be good at Leeds, but I don't think it needs to be like, oh, fly the flag for all of American soccer and sign everybody to Leeds United.
Last thing you want is for, I don't know, full America was nice and all, but it happened at a very natural pace over a long period of time. I don't know why. Because there was no American coach, it was almost more legitimate that those players ended up there because someone English made the decision to bring them over and thought they were good enough. You know, if Jesse starts bringing over Americans left and right, it's going to be like, it's going to be a thing that they hang on his grave if they don't do well.
You know?
And I don't know that I want Americans to be trampled way.
It's not a it's just obviously a thing that is going to be difficult to unpack. So Jesse Marsh, who isn't going to be the only one dictating who Leeds United signs, is going to say, well, I know that player. He's a good player. He would fit in the system. He would work. If he happens to be American, okay. I don't think Jesse's going to be like, well, I definitely want to go get some Americans. I don't think that's how Jesse works. I think he's smart enough.
Let's get us some Americans.
I think that he is also aware of how it looks, right? Of how that would look. But at the same time, you don't want to also say, well, no Americans, because I don't want it to look bad that I'm signing Americans. It has to be this tough balance, right?
Just like any other team, man. Like, if they're good enough, they're good enough. And I think Jesse Marsh is more likely to give a good American a shot, potentially.
Yeah.
But... Well, at the same time,
I don't know who else. I don't even know who else would be in the mix. I mean, Pulisic's not going to Leeds; he's just not.
You're talking about industry, and you want to talk about the rate that they want to play at, and that the defensive mindedness that he wants to have. Tyler Adams.
Yeah, that's come up. I think.
I know Arsenal's talked about Tyler Adams in the past. Would you rather go to Arsenal, sit the bench, or start for Leeds?
Well, there's no guarantee he would sit the bench at Arsenal at the same level he sits the bench at Leeds.
It's far more likely than at Leeds.
No, that's probably true. I suppose that's true.
And by the way, is Calvin Phillips gone? I think Calvin Phillips is gone, right, at Leeds?
I don't know. I don't know the outs going. Okay. I want to get to Jose because apparently he's got a question about Jesse Marsh. So let's, before I get back into that question, what's up, Jose? What's up?
Hey, what's going on, guys? I just have a quick question for you. I think it's on everyone's mind. So let's think that we go to the World Cup and we don't do as good as we would hope. If you're Jesse Marsh and they tell you it's either the entire cycle or nothing, you leave the Premier League if you're in a good spot and coach the national team to our, you know, World Cup at home, or do you stay in the Premier League and maybe wait for another cycle?
I think he stays in the Premier. He's got the first chance to have a little bit. It really depends how the season's going with Leeds. That's the honest question. But I think in his mind, he's not done anytime soon. He's just getting started in Europe.
Was that an official pick your poison? Should I give Jose the actual?
I think mine was official pick your poison that you didn't drop on. But that's a...
Okay. We heard. I'm going to
go with stay there. His career is just starting. There's other leagues if it's not England as well. I think his story is just starting overseas.
And this is what I said.
As I would like to see him take the national team.
This is what I said when he took the job. Because you and I had this discussion. I mean, I know we were also just creating a little bit of a debate. Let's not beat around the bush here. There may have been some performative stuff happening. But you had this attitude. Like, this is dangerous for Jesse Marsh. If he doesn't keep this team up, I don't want to throw this in your face, Jared, because I understood what you were saying. Then it looks bad for him, and maybe he submarines his career, right? Going forward, yeah. Is he going to coach again in Europe if he doesn't keep Leeds United up? Maybe this isn't the right move. I told you, he has to take this job because it's not going to come along very often, if ever, right? For an American to get a chance to coach the Premier League. So, again, provided that he keeps the job, and I don't think there's any appetite to fire him right now, although as soon as I said, you're welcome, Leeds, on behalf of America, I would like to say, you're welcome, Leeds. I'm looking right at you. You're welcome, Leeds. We gave you that. Jack Harrison played some soccer here, played for NYCFC, got good enough to go to Leeds.
I love we get to claim that.
You're welcome, Leeds. I had people in my mentions. You can have him back. And I was like, really? Like, you may not like the guy the same way you liked Bielsa, but really? That's what it is. Look, I don't think he's going anywhere.
Nah.
So I think you hold on to this job. Or you hold on to the Premier League thing, the top level, top five, four leagues in Europe, as long as you can.
Yeah.
And you squeeze that for as much as you can. You don't leave for the national team job unless you don't have any prospects in Europe at the top level. Then maybe
there's also certain guys that are just national team coaches, and there's certain guys that are club coaches.
Right.
You know, and I don't know which one Jesse is at this point, but I think there's a lot more club jobs than there are national teams. But national team seems like a good gig, man. Play once every couple months, a couple times here and there. Watch a lot of tape.
Man, I think I would be bored senseless. Now, I'm not a coach. I'm not trying to be a coach. I would be bored out of my mind. I would hate it. I know Berhalter gets to jet all over the place, do a little bit of, you know, taking this game in, taking that game in, call, rings up the front office. They're like,
check the sneaker houses of Paris and see what's good.
He gets to go and shop and use that salary on some very nice things. But I would be bored out of my mind if it was every 3 months or whatever it is for him.
I can see that.
Jose, you got anything else?
I just want to say that I think Mihailovic would also be a good fit. And I've also
just been talking about that.
About him.
Okay. Interesting. We can consider that one. I
think it's tough to say that you're going to go to another American for your other key playmaker. I mean, that's a tough thing, I think, for some people to swallow is American playmaker in the Premier League.
Maybe. I mean,
in the middle of the field.
He's got to prove it. I mean, that's the problem. Like, you go there, you don't get dropped into the starting lineup unless you're good enough.
But is that the move you want for Jordy?
What do I want for Georgie? Obviously, the Bologna connection has come up multiple times.
I feel better to me.
What, Bologna seems better
for
Georgie? I think Serie A would be a good fit for Georgie. I do. I think that in terms of the tactical elements of that league, it's not as built as much on speed and on fitness and on physicality. I think it would be a good fit for him. Absolutely.
Okay.
So I would be okay with that. I don't think that it needs to be the Premier League. I also know that players also can't say no to the Premier League most of the time when that comes calling. I mean, Josh Sargent paid the price for that. And, I mean, maybe he would have been better off playing in the second division in Germany because Schalke went right back up. Was it Schalke? Werder Bremen. Where was he at?
Yeah.
Can't remember now. Werder Bremen. They didn't go back up, did they? Who went up?
I don't recall if they did or not. But JC says, I think Jesse is definitely more of a club coach, given he relies heavily on the pressing style, while national team coaches need to be more tactically flexible than ones who rely on style. I think that's because the players are in and out so much.
Werder Bremen is going chemistry. Back up, by the way. I just checked it. Werder is going back up.
This is a German podcast or American podcast? What are we doing here?
I'm pointing out that Josh Sargent went to the Premier League, left his club
and stunk it up. I remember. I was there.
I know, but he could have gone back up with Werder Bremen if he wanted to play, if he had just like stomached a year at second level.
Bremen may not going back up if Sargent was still playing up top.
Man, okay, wow.
Just prove like, me wrong. You can't because you're a
cold-blooded. Yeah, I know. Like, I held on.
Nikki says accurate.
It took a long time for me to give up the ghost on Josh Sargent. And I don't think his career is over by any stretch, but I'm not.
No,
he's not
going to
be a national teamer guy.
I think it's a good thing he's going to be in the championship.
All right, let's go to our man Eddie in Brooklyn. My boy Eddie, who literally.
Ooh, did someone do something well in Costa Rica that I don't know about?
Just before the show, I was looking at Twitter just before the show, and what do I see? But my man Eddie fighting with Red Bull fans for some reason, Red Bull supporter groups on Twitter. What's up, Eddie?
I'm in favor of this then.
Oh, yeah, we'll get to that if you want to at the end of whatever I'm going to call about, to be honest. Because, look, man, Jose ruined my night because my question was kind of along the line, Jose, but
what's that?
He kind of stole it from me. But for me, I always had an ongoing joke. Like, I want Jesse March to coach Costa Rica after the 2026 World Cup, the 2022 World Cup, assuming we make it. Like,
There's a catch. There's a catch here, Eddie. You think this is better for Costa Rica. I know it.
By the way, Eddie's a former Red Bull guy. I mean, he's a Red Bull guy.
Getting an American coach on American soil, like, that to me, like, I want that, right? Like, and Jesse, okay. For me, I've been a huge fan of Jesse when I used to be a Red Bull, season ticket holder. And I like that dude. And I like his style. I like his moxie. And I was really happy for him today. And it kind of threw a wrench in my plans because part of my evil plan was, you know, that he would be relegated and that he'd get fired and I'd win the lottery and then I'd pay his salary. He coached the national team. But that, you know, that's kind of out of the way. So then, all right, and then Jose saw my question. So this is my question for y'all now. Give me an American coach that I should be excited about along the lines of Jesse. So when Costa Rica gets bumped out of the group stage of the World Cup, that I can look forward to pushing the narrative that this is the guy that we should hire for the 2026 project.
When you say along the lines, do you mean like stylistically has the same vibe, or do you just mean like young with some ideas? Like, I'm trying to figure that out.
Good, right? Because I know Alexi Lala said that, why can't Bruce Arenas coach Arsenal? And then he showed y'all why, like the last World Cup cycle. But like, I mean like a good coach, like somebody who is smart, has ideas, is innovative, is modern.
Sorry, man.
He's somebody that I can get excited about.
Well, you know, the guy that gets talked about a lot I'm not sure Eddie would want somebody who's an assistant right now. They may have to get some experience at the top level or as a senior coach, but Ante Rozev is supposed to be the next guy up, but he hasn't gotten his chance. And he's a Bob Bradley tree guy, so you got that element if you want.
I'm more interested in what Josh Wolf's doing, to be honest with you.
Okay, Josh Wolf's an interesting one.
What they're doing no big man on that field, you know, playing a lot of small ball, really tight, good touches. I like what they're doing. It's early, though. They could just be having a good early part of the season. There's a couple guys in MLS that are not Americans that I would be kind of a fan of, like Oscar Pereira. I love Oscar Pereira still. You know, like there's guys in, you kind of consider him American adjacent, you know?
Sure.
But, I mean, Oscar Pereira would be one that also, but I mean, that cheats the question a little bit. But I'll say Josh Wolf right now, and that's a tentative, super early. That's kind of what he's asking right now.
Yeah, well, like, he's for someone super early. He does have at least something of a resume. I mean, by the time we get there,
I think Chirundolo, I would say Chirundolo, but he has so much more talent at his disposal than what Josh Wolf's dealing with in Austin. You know, maybe. I think that's a little bit more impressive to me right now with what he's doing.
That's certainly possible. Eddie, you got anything else?
I mean, to be honest, we're pretty cheap when it comes to paying coaches, so maybe an assistant right now is fine. You know, it's not like we can. That's why part of my master plan was me hitting the lottery, because I knew that I would have to pay a substantial amount of money.
Eddie, if I'm not mistaken, Costa Rica has had an American manager before, right? So how did that go?
Yo, I honestly don't remember.
Okay, Steve Sampson was Costa Rica's coach for a couple years.
I'm not going to lie, but I honestly don't remember.
Well, Eddie, I got a question for you to kind of go back to what you're – I'm going to pose a similar question to you. Who's a Costa Rican player under 28 that maybe American fans don't know, has never played in MLS, never played in Europe, that we should be watching, that maybe their MLS team should be taking a look at in the Costa Rican pool?
Basically, the entire starting 11 that put Kristen Pulisic in their pockets.
Costa Rica
on the last time.
You walked yourself into that. Come on.
I said a player. You know what the difference is, though? Christian Pulisic is going to be at the World Cup.
Well, Costa Rica can be at the World Cup, too. Chill out. They got a game. They're gonna go to Qatar.
I think they can beat. I think they can beat them. Yeah, I think they beat New Zealand.
New Zealand. They're gonna be New Zealand. They're gonna be New Zealand, right?
No, look. In all honesty, no. We should win that game. But in all honesty, to answer Jared's question, Anthony Contreras was the striker towards the end of our World Cup qualifying process, and it's actually been reported and confirmed because he was on loan at Guanacasteca. That his parent club is at Herediano. And it's actually been confirmed from the sporting director that he has two concrete offers. One is in Portugal from a club in Portugal, and the other one's from a club in MLS. So Anthony Contreras, you know, he's 20, 23, 24, good striker, really good hold-up type, has versatility that can play on the wings, pretty dynamic. It's a kid that I'm excited. It depends on the club in Portugal because I have seen that go sideways for a few of our guys. And so I would like to see which MLS club specifically would be interested in him. But that's a guy that you guys should really look out for in MLS. Okay.
So, Eddie, let's say it was Benfica and it was Seattle Sounders.
I thought you were going to say another Portuguese club.
Where would you want him to play?
Yeah, which one?
Seattle's a good shout. I would say LAFC is also a good shout. I would say a premier LAFC's club got in so MLS. Much I think I'm fine with him going to a premier club in MLS. For me, for him to go to Portugal, I feel like I would feel more comfortable if he went to somebody like Sporting Lisbon, more so than a Benfica type, just because they have, you know, being Costa Rican in Europe is difficult. And I need a club that has shown a propensity to be a little bit more patient with us than like Madrid just sent Keylor Navas out the door. Like I feel like I want a club that has some history there. So I feel more comfortable with him at a place like Lisbon than some place like Benfica, for example. So it really does depend on the club in Portugal.
Okay. I appreciate that, Eddie, because I was just wondering with your perspective on where MLS and a team like a border, like a mid-level country league in Europe, like the difference in the two, and I'm just interested in your perspective on that. So I appreciate that. Thanks.
Appreciate it, Eddie.
No,
I
changed my mind a little bit, you know, honestly, on the way I kind of view some of these MLS moves, like Kendall Watson in Vancouver, right? Like that to me was a big one, and he never got his shot. And that's a big reason for that is Machillo at the 2018 World Cup to kind of move past that. But, you know, you see what Galo was doing at San Jose. I still think Leal has a shot to make a World Cup, and he's been pretty consistent at Nashville. Hopefully his injury doesn't become a more of a consistent knock for him, that he can show some good form for the rest of the summer into the fall. So, like, I feel like there are good moves in MLS. As long as it's not the Red Bulls and you're not being booted on by the Viking Army, which is a terrible supporters section. And if you have a picture of your team holding an MLS Cup trophy, please tweet it at @Viking_Army_SC. Because they don't know what that feels like, and I want you to remind them.
Okay, let Eddie go at that point. Bring in some fire.
Good to hear from you, Eddie.
It's a cross river situation happening with Eddie in Brooklyn and Viking Army over there in Jersey. All right, so that leads us into roster talk. Now that we've gotten that all out of our system, we haven't actually addressed the U.S. men's national team roster. I'm going to get to our man Felix in Chicago, who certainly wants to talk about this. Jared, you want to just go through the names? You stop me if you got any issues. You want to bring something up?
Let's rattle them off real quick. I'm not going to stop you. Just rattle them off, and let's get Felix in, and then we'll fill the gaps what he doesn't want to talk about.
All right, so goalkeepers are Ethan Horvath, Zach Steffen, and Matt Turner. Defenders are George Bello, Reggie Cannon, Cameron Carter-Vickers.
Cameron Carter-Vickers.
Aaron Long. Eric Palmer Brown get the same treatment? I mean, I know he's not English the way Cameron Carter-Vickers.
Eric Palmer Brown.
Anthony Robinson, Joe Scally, DeAndre Yedlin, Walker Zimmerman. Midfielders, Kellen Acosta, Tyler Adams, Luca De La Torre, Weston McKennie, Georgie Mihaljevic, Yunus Musah, Christian Roldan, Malik Tillman, Brendan Aaronson, Paul Ariola, Jesus Herrera, Jordan Morris, who I think just had another miss that probably we don't want to talk about, Tim Weah, Christian Pulisic, and Haji Wright. So there's your list. You want to go to Felix? You let him get it out of his system before you and
Felix,
dive in?
Let's see what he's got going on.
All right, let's do it. Felix in Chicago. Felix, you're on Best Soccer Show. What's up?
Hey, guys. My thoughts on the roster, I think overall, I'm fairly happy with the roster. I'm curious how Jordi Mihailović will be utilized. I heard another podcast recently where he said he sees himself, I think since he moved from the Fire, his hometown team, to Montreal, he's been much more effective, almost MVP level, when they moved him up top where he's more of like a half space merchant. Those were his words. And
sure.
But, you know, Greg's got him more as a number eight. So I'm
because the position he plays in Montreal, Felix, doesn't exist for the U.S. men's national team, which is.
Does it, though? Hold on, right. And here's the question. I'm going to answer your question, Felix, because I think there is a way to think about this. Only because I think Jesus Ferreira has opened up the conversation about how Jordi Mihailović could be used with the national team. If you think about how Jesus Ferreira is playing off that line.
Sure.
And trying to get on the ball and release guys, the wings in front of him. I could see Jordi Mihailović playing into that same space and doing similar things. So if I see, don't you think that Jordi Mihailović could play off that, like that false nine?
Because
he's playing higher in Montreal than he was in Chicago.
Sure, but he's also playing behind.
My question is this, though, Jared, though.
Go ahead, Felix.
I'm sorry. I wanted to jump in with this. My question is this, and not to disagree with Jared, but just to kind of throw it out there as a conversation piece, a debate. Do you think if you're going to have Jesus Ferreira as a false nine and you're going to have Jordi Mihailović pushing up in this contrived, you know, scenario that we created, does that restrict the space that Weston McKennie can utilize then, because now he's kind of forced to stay back to essentially compensate
for
Mihailović and Ferreira?
I find it very difficult to imagine that in any competitive situation, Greg Berhalter will roll out Jesus Ferreira and Jordi Mihailović in the same team, unless Mihailović is playing wide, which we know is not his best spot.
Yeah, I don't see them being on the field together, but I can see them, like, let's say you play Ferreira 60 minutes and you want to like-for-like switch into that same part of the field. I don't see another striker in the pool, unless you put, like, Pulisic there. Pulisic could play there in the middle and do that same thing.
Let's go to what Jose has to say here in the chat. He says Mihailović plays in a back five situation in Montreal, and that's what Berhalter wants to try with the national team. I think there have been some indications that Berhalter may want to switch, or at least throw that wrinkle in. He's done it a little bit.
Front five, not back five. I know he typed back.
Oh,
he means front five.
Yeah. Oh, you're saying, okay, I'm sorry. Front five with three attack. Well, okay, so how does Montreal roll it out? Because obviously, again, Mihailović's free role sort of in that half space, as Felix described it, is not something that is sort of...
That puts a lot of work on Tyler Adams, man. But I guess you have the guy to do it. I mean, you don't have a better guy around than that to do it. I think Mihailović's future is at the advanced midfield role. I was just throwing it out there that there is a possibility if you wanted a like-for-like switch late in a game for Ferreira, you could put him in that position.
I could see that kind of working. Obviously, he's not. So when you think about Jesus Ferreira, how much of his false nine role is playmaker? How much of it is decoy? How much of it is finding pockets of space, maybe in behind those players, or, you know, not in behind the defense, but sitting deeper, waiting for things
to develop. Decoy runs over and over again.
But I'm saying, like, so obviously Jordi Mihailović is going to play it differently, right? So my point is that you want Mihailović on the ball, right? Yeah. And one thing that you can certainly point out that if this is the 4-3-3 that Berhalter typically uses with those dual eights, those players are asked to progress the ball, to move the ball up from the midfield into the attack, right? That's why we celebrate Yunus Musa, because he is excellent at that. We don't have
Luca De La Torre
since Darlington Nagby. Yes, Luca De La Torre as well. McKennie's role is not quite that, but he is also asked to do that. And McKennie is also a guy who can play with his back to goal and serve as an outlet that way. He can obviously make those late runs. He's kind of all over the place. He wins a ton of balls in the air. You're obviously not taking McKennie off if you can help it. But does Mihailović do enough Musa-like things or De La Torre-like things that he is a fit in that situation?
Third on the depth chart, minimum. Minimum. Okay. I mean, you're not. I don't see how right now, at this point, this close to a World Cup, after all the games that we've seen in qualifying, that he's going to displace either Musa or De La Torre. And those are, for me, the like for likes. That's where I see him fitting in. I don't think he displaces them in a starting lineup before the World Cup. Now, can he do enough to unseat a Christian Roldan or someone like that and get a roster spot? Absolutely. Yeah,
and so I think we've learned by now not to put too much stock into where these guys are listed, what area of the field they're listed in when it comes to the roster. But if you are going to put some stock in that, you've got Acosta, we know is a midfielder. Adams, we know is a midfielder. De La Torre, McKennie, Musa, Roldan, who with the national team is a midfielder, but with Seattle is more of a wide player, not necessarily as high as he would play with the national team, but he is a wide player. And then Malik Tillman, who definitely feels like an attacking player who's being listed as a midfielder here in a system that doesn't use midfielders as out-and-out attacking players. So I don't know what to make of that. So and with Georgie in that group, it certainly seems like his competition is De La Torre, not McKennie, obviously, but De La Torre. Musa's not going anywhere either, so I don't know.
And here's the thing. Almost everybody you're hearing talk about Malik Tillman right now hasn't watched him play. Just about everybody.
Well, sure.
Just about everybody. So, I mean, we're all going to learn based off of what we see. Maybe Berhalter knows something that we don't, and he is a true midfielder. We'll see. I expect to see him at both kind of positions, maybe, and trying him out. If he plays. I mean, it really depends. Berhalter may just bring him in to see him in camp.
I think Malik Tillman could get 10 minutes at the end of one of the friendlies. Sure. And those are the first two games in the camp, which is not ideal.
He's bringing him in to see him in camp. That's
because
what
he's doing. Don't get a ton of training time before you throw him on the field.
Versus Haji Wright.
He's not going to play. Malik Tillman is not going to play in either one of those National League games. He's just not. He's not going to happen.
Versus Haji Wright, who's going to see minutes. Haji Wright will see minutes.
Probably. And he'll see a significant number of minutes. Well, that's because you look
I expect him to get minimum one start out of these four
absolutely.
Games.
I think that's probably right. Because there's not, you look at the forwards, we already know, like, you have a significant issue with your center forward position.
I expect Ferreira to get a minimum two starts and potentially three, depending how well Haji Wright plays and his minutes he gets.
Yeah. I mean, there's only two center forwards in the list. They have to split the time like that. Unless you can play Tim Weah at a spot he's never played for the national team. And by the way, shout out to Tim Weah for scoring a couple goals.
Yeah.
This weekend. I mean, that's where it is. All right. So, Felix is still there. Felix, do you have any other thoughts on the roster before I let you go?
Yeah, two super quick thoughts and then a question. First one, I agree. Malik Tillman, please don't get your hopes up. I think he's kind of one for the future. I doubt someone who's mostly made his bones in the German third division or whatever is going to really make a lot of noise right now.
Well, he's in that transition period. Real quick, Felix, he's in that transition.
Yeah.
He's probably going to have to go on loan because he's not going to have a spot at Bayern. He's made a couple of benches, right? He made a cup appearance, but he's going to have to go on loan.
Look at Chris Richards. You know,
he's in that zone where, they need to find a place for him to play. And that should boost his prospects because he is clearly talented. But that's exactly why no one should be like, he's going to make the Qatar World Cup team. He's not going to make the Qatar World Cup team. That's not happening.
Yeah, agreed. Two, I don't know if anybody's really noticed this. Luca De La Torre, Heracles got relegated. So it's going to be interesting where Luca De La Torre goes now, because I'm assuming he's really not going to want to play Dutch second division football. That's got to be...
I'm assuming the standards really got to drop.
So I'm curious where he's going to go, because I think he really needs to play, because our midfield, with the injuries that they seem to regularly pick up, having someone like Luca in our back pocket is really nice. So hopefully he lands somewhere good where he can play. My question that I wanted to throw out to you guys is there's a lot of it's not really roster related, but there's a lot of criticism of Greg, right? That Greg doesn't really utilize the roster well. My counter argument or my counter theory would be this. If you look at our players, our player pool up and down, a lot of the big star names that we think of, their form, their minutes are all over the place. Their fitness is all over the place. Do you think it's Greg's not utilizing the roster correctly, or do you think it's this player pool is very inconsistent and Greg is just experiencing what their various club coaches are experiencing in Europe?
I don't think a national team coach plays enough starts a player enough games in a given year to really affect that. I think it's a club issue. I think almost across the board. I think if anything, you can say it's a lot of young bodies putting a lot of minutes on them. I don't think that Greer Berhalter is going to have in terms of like roster management. I think that's actually one of the things he's decent at. I think he's good at getting a lot out of the non-starting 11. Most of our issues are usually starting 11. His subs are often good. His substitutions are often making a difference.
Yeah.
I think it's the starting lineup and not understanding the system that I think are the legitimate things that you could hold against Greg Berhalter.
I think that this team has struggled to, thanks for the call, Felix, gotta let you go, but I think this team has struggled to fully internalize the attacking elements of what Berhalter wants them to do, which is why their goals haven't been nearly as prolific. Goal scoring hasn't been prolific. Defensively, they've been fine. I think that part of the organization of that team, and you know, it helps when you have Tyler Adams there to man the middle and all those things. But in terms of what I think Berhalter's gotten wrong, largely what I think he's gotten wrong is thinking that he can go into his bench and get the same sort of performances as he does out of his first choice guys. I mean, there is some depth here, but you can't make six changes and expect the team to stay on the same level. And he did that a couple times during qualifying and got bit by it. And I think that's the biggest issue I have. You know, hopefully that won't be the thing that you care about when you get to the World Cup, because you're playing three group games in a week and a half. And, you know, you're not thinking like that the way that you did during qualifying.
Now, we got a petition for Pick Your Poison in the chat, but I want to read it first and tell me if you think it's worth it. Because is this too easy? Pick your poison. Which position is more concerning for U.S., goalkeeper or striker?
I mean, I don't know if it rises to official pick your poison level. We've been talking about those two positions for months now.
All right, just make the question then. What's more concerning to you?
I think that Ferreira has done enough to make me feel okay about him being the starter. I definitely worry about depth at that position. So I'm going to say goalkeeper, because I just don't see where the in-form goalkeeper is supposed to come from now. I don't know where that is. Okay. And you know, obviously they've been decent enough defensively that maybe I shouldn't worry about that as much. I don't know. I'm probably making too much out of goalkeeper, considering that goal scoring is going to be the issue, and it has been the issue for this team.
Yeah, I'm going to go striker on this one. I feel that that's it, the one. But I think Nick wants to weigh in on this one. He's got a choice as well.
Nick is here. He's on the show today. Is that what we're doing? All right, let me play you in. Let me get you properly set up here.
Sausage King of Chicago.
There it is, on a delay. Go ahead, Nick.
It's striker. Because if Greg gets his head out of his ass, he plays Turner, we don't have an issue.
Well, but Turner's still going to go be a backup. That's my point.
Yeah, he's still better.
Stefan.
I realized that, which is why I'm concerned.
If they're both backups, play the one that's obviously better.
No. This is not about who should start. I am in agreement that Turner should start. This is about not being confident of anybody in the goalkeeper pool right now. And speaking of goalkeepers, thank you, Nick, for your insight there. Let's bring Frank in. A name not on this roster that, based on the events of Friday, people thought was going to be on the roster, Gaga Slonina. Find out he's going to announce his intention to play for either Poland or the United States, puts out this letter. That, I mean, it was very Ricardo Pepe-esque, right? Like, this is I feel American. This is the team I want to play for. This was a shock. I mean, I was talking to Janusz Michalak on the radio, and he was like, I don't know. He was getting ready to go to Poland. He had tickets booked. He was supposed to join the Poland national team, and then suddenly he changes his mind.
Do you think he was seeing if Greg would blink?
Why would that be a thing? I don't understand.
Like,
what do you
mean
blink?
On the summer roster.
No, I don't. I think Gaga made that announcement independent of being on the roster. I'm pretty sure Greg told him, you're not going to be on the roster. And Gaga made the choice anyway. My thought is, and Greg has talked about being hands-off when it comes to dual nationals, this is what I think happened. I think Berhalter said, you're not playing well right now. We're not going to call you for this camp. Mm-hmm. But there's a very good chance you could go to Qatar. Like, there's a actually good chance you could go to Qatar. And I think Gaga heard that from Greg Berhalter. Hold on, Frank. Give me a second. I think he heard that or something like that. Maybe not necessarily you're going to go to Qatar. You could go. But maybe just encouragement. And then he looked at Poland's roster, and there are three guys under the age of 26 or 27 who are in very good positions. There's a kid in Denmark that's Polish that is tearing it up in Denmark. And I think he said, it's going to be hard for me to break in. Now, I know Stefan and Turner aren't old goalkeepers, but they're going to go be backups, and I think he at least imagines he has a shot. Go ahead, Frank.
Okay, well, as a person who went to Chicago and saw Cincinnati take down the Fire, I can safely tell you that Gaga Slonina is not ready for this level. He and my lady, who knows nothing about soccer and who even caught this, he's way too young and immature to handle the pressure of when your backs are against the wall. He's just not there yet. He was very skittish. Much of the time, I can count like four times that I saw him not talk to his defenders. And I think that was one of the reasons why when he, when he messed up that second goal against Cincinnati, that was him not talking to his defenders.
Sure.
He did not communicate. That is something that, yes, a 17-year-old is prone to make, but when you're in the national team, I don't think that kind of thing is acceptable. And let's not forget, he's 17. He may still have 3 or even 4 World Cup cycles in him. I don't think
but here's the thing, Frank.
A good thing to here's the thing.
When I said that I imagine Greg Berhalter might have told him he could go to Qatar, that's not to be the starter. It's not even to be the backup. It's to be the caddy. It's to be the equipment guy with the goalkeeper crew. Like, he would be there to get experience on. Hold on. I understand. I agree. He's not ready. I don't think any 17-year-old goalkeeper is ready. 18. He just turned 18. I don't think he's ready. I don't think he's necessarily one for 2022, but he could be one for 2026 if he stays on this trajectory. Now, it depends on where he goes this summer. The thing that everything you're saying, Frank, is about experience and coaching, right? Getting coached up. In terms of his talent, that's what everybody talks about as being next level, as being the kind of talent that gets you eyed by Chelsea and everybody else when you're 17 years old. That you cannot coach, right? You cannot coach a player to have great talent. You're either talented or you're not, and he's got that part. Everything else can be worked on. It's not going to happen before Qatar, but it can be worked on.
I guess. No, I don't. I mean, if you want him to be Michael Bradley in 2006, okay, then yeah, he can be the water boy. But I don't think
that's what I'm saying. Jared, we talked about this. People don't even remember that Marcus Hahnemann went to World Cups. But Marcus Hahnemann went to World Cups, right?
I think two.
But because nobody was expecting Marcus Hahnemann to be the guy. Yeah. You took 3 goalkeepers because FIFA requires you to take 3 goalkeepers, and God forbid something happens and you lose 2. So Gaga would not. This is the pick your poison, and I'm going to ask Frank after I do it for you. Poison. You're taking the team to the World Cup. You're going to Qatar. You're getting you're booking the flights. You're getting ready to go. You take Sean Johnson, who's been a longtime servant of the national team. I don't know. He's got a handful of caps. He's done some things. Obviously, he has some black marks on his record. He's 34 years old, whoever he is. Or do you take 18-year-old Gaga Slonina? Because, look, experience and, like, locker room guy stuff matters if it's Sean Johnson, I guess. Or do you take this 18-year-old knowing that you have a World Cup coming in your own country and he's next-level talent?
It's tough not knowing where Slonina's form is going to be come that time to make that decision. For me, I can't remember the last time I had to see a third keeper at the World Cup. So for that reason, get the kid some experience.
Yeah. I mean, sometimes you bring the penalty specialist. Maybe not as your third keeper. It's probably your backup. So never mind. Mm. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, unless we're doing that, right?
Oh, Turner's your penalty specialist. I don't think there's any way that anyone's going to get that over on him.
Like, wait, none of that was meant as a slight to Marcus Hahnemann, who is a very good goalkeeper. It was simply pointing out that we had guys ahead of him.
The fact that he never got a Red Bull sponsorship, I don't understand it.
Oh, sorry. I'm pushing too many buttons there. Got anything else there, Frank?
No, that's pretty much it. Though I will say, and I'm pretty sure you'll get to them later. Could you guys make the argument that maybe Christian Pulisic is more of a super sub rather than a starter? And I'll leave it at that. All right. There you go.
It depends on the team and the situation, Darren. This is the hard part for Christian, right? Like, do you go down a level in the Premier League or any European league? Do you kind of go to a mid-table club knowing you'll play, or do
you? It's tough enough to make a club decision like this. Then you add a World Cup year into it as well. I think his decision is made for you. Got to go.
Yeah.
You got to go. You got to go somewhere. Because here's the thing. Come November, your team wants you to be the guy. If you want to be the guy for that team, I think you need to be the guy for your club team.
Yeah, we talked
about that. Christian Pulisic needs to be the guy for his team, and he's not that guy at Chelsea. He's going to have a great career if he stays at Chelsea. Great career.
Yeah.
But we need him to be the guy, and I think he wants to be the guy.
Well, everything has to line up, you know, in terms of this summer. Like, everything has to line up. First of all, somebody's got to come to Chelsea willing to pay whatever it is Chelsea wants to get Christian Pulisic. I suppose it's possible he could be loaned out. Chelsea does have a history with that. But I don't know if it's likely. So somebody has to stump up, what, 40 mil or whatever it is at least. I know they paid 60-something for him. But they got to stump up a ton of money for him. I think somebody said 30, maybe 30 million pounds. I don't know. The number is, whatever the number is. Like Leeds, if it's Leeds. Leeds is going to drop that kind of cash for one player. I'm not sure that that's going to happen. So you're talking
about they're already dropping 30 mil on Brendan Aaronson.
In the Premier League, those clubs are richer. Even the mid-table clubs are richer than any other club on the continent outside of Bayern Munich, Real Madrid, a couple other teams, PSG. But they still aren't going to do that. Like, they're still not going to drop 30 million on one player, even if it's a player who could do some nice things for them on the attacking of the field. So it's a circumstantial issue. I just don't know what the right circumstances are.
Is there any other player on the men's national team the roster here, that you're more interested to see where their club move is going to be than Christian Pulisic? Is there anyone else who needs a club move more than Christian Pulisic?
It's a good question. No problem.
Off the top of my head, I mean, you could say
maybe Tyler.
Maybe. Yeah, I mean, he's hugging the Pokal right now. You know, like the dude's hugging a trophy for
What did you say? He's doing
hugging
what?
The Pokal. He's hugging the Pokal. I don't know what they call that trophy. I'm calling it the. By the way, that's the most. Looks like Little John made that trophy. Have you seen how many like studs are like? He's got like a pimp cup.
That's great. Yeah, no, he was very happy. He was Jordaning the trophy, right? Like he was hugging the thing.
So I'm gonna say you could put Tyler as there. I don't think it's as big of a deal if he doesn't move. I'm gonna throw. I know this is a little bit depth thing, so maybe it's not. Reggie Cannon's got to move.
Oh yeah, sure.
Reggie Cannon's got to move, but he's further down. Does Dest need to move more than Pulisic?
Not more, no. I don't think so. About the same. I think about the same level, right?
Does Pepe need to move at all? Can't really. He's not gonna, right?
Pepe's not going anywhere, no. I mean, they stayed up, right? So he's not going anywhere. They have no
reason Christian
to sell
Pulisic him. Or Jordan Pefok?
Still Pulisic. I mean, whatever. Pefok could find a higher level. He's going to get... So remember that...
I'm asking who needs a move more.
No, I understand. I think it's still Christian Pulisic. I mean, if I'm talking through a national team lens, if I'm looking at it like that, it's Pulisic. You have to remember that even if these guys get moves, what are we talking about? I know it's an earlier start in a lot of leagues because of the World Cup, but you're still getting, what, 2.5 months before you go into the World Cup?
Christian Pulisic or Zach Steffen?
Who needs a move more?
Mm-hmm.
I guess Steffen, just because he plays way fewer minutes than Pulisic does, I suppose. Yeah.
I think to cement that goalkeeper position that we're always saying is...
A couple of shouts for Hoppy. Hoppy's in there.
Not the same caliber as Pulisic.
But here's the thing. What sucks for a guy like Hoppy, and I know like you have to go through the roster, and obviously some things have developed since the World Cup qualification cycle went down. But Hoppy basically... didn't play himself out of the team. Like, he didn't play at Mallorca, so he didn't get a chance with the national team, and now he's out of the picture. He's not
unlike
going to
Pepe, who got plenty of chances in Augsburg, but couldn't take advantage of it.
Well, I mean, that's the thing. Like, is it better to not play or to play and play badly? I think it's to play and play badly. I think that's the better situation.
Yeah, at least you're playing. You know, I mean, at least people can even see sometimes it's not your fault. It's your team's fault, you know?
Play and play ineffectively, because I think Pepe had some nice moments that were not goal scoring moments, but that job is to go score goals. And
does
so
Cameron Carter-Vickers need to move?
Cameron Carter-Vickers, yeah, I think so. To take the next step, I mean, if he's going to be in the World Cup team, I think he's got to do better than Celtic. I mean, no offense to Celtic, and I know they're going to be back in Europe and all that stuff. There's going to be games ahead of. There's going to be continental games before the World Cup. They're starting the World Cup or the Champions League group stage like hella early. because of the World Cup. So there's a chance to shine. I still think he's good enough though to get that next move. And you know, it's a little bit like coming up from different sides for Pulisic and for Cameron Carter-Vickers. Vickers has had to prove himself. He had to go to Scotland to do it to help Celtic win a title. The best case scenario for Cameron Carter-Vickers is a mid-table Premier League club where he gets significant minutes. And for Pulisic, it's kind of the same thing, but he's starting at the other end of the table and maybe even coming down. So there's that.
I forget, is Vickers, Cameron Carter-Vickers, is he still on a loan there? Or is that a actual, because he's been loaned out so many times, I forget.
He is still
a Tottenham player.
Okay. Yeah, and I believe there was talk about maybe a Celtic purchase, but I don't think that's going to happen. I don't think that's going to happen. Yeah. By the way, if you want updates, Cameron Carter-Vickers, I'm sorry. Cameron Carter-Vickers. Cameron Carter-Vickers. That's the way Morgan likes it. When you do it just like, do it one more time for her.
I can hear her eyes rolling from here. Cameron Carter-Vickers.
Oh no, she doesn't. She like visibly, like she almost like she gags when you do it. Like it's not an eye roll. She's not like disappointed in you. She's ashamed of you. Like hardcore ashamed of you when she.
I've been making women ashamed of me for years.
It's not appropriate. Cameron Carter-Vickers handed Celtic transfer hint as USA boss offers international recall caveat. This is from the Daily Record. USA boss Greg Berhalter has hailed Cameron Carter-Vickers' form for Celtic after the defender's first call-up in 3 years. However, he states he has to keep up those standards to keep his place in the squad. And the centre-back will take part in a busy international schedule to make his case for the World Cup. And it says the Tottenham loanee has been a standout. At Celtic, Berhalter now wants to see him replicate those standards on the international scene. So that's obviously bringing
that
form.
You know, one thing we haven't even talked about in all this? We've talked about all this stuff at the roster. Still no John Brooks?
No. I mean, it came up.
At this point, he's done. He has to be done, right? There's no World Cup for John Brooks.
This is 100%. Friend,
if Miles Robson going down doesn't get you called back into games that don't matter, a chance to prove yourself just to be in camp.
Berhalter was asked, and Berhalter said that he did not call John Brooks because John Brooks is moving clubs. That's what he said. That was his excuse.
Christian Pulisic is going to move clubs.
Well, that's not a guarantee. It's absolutely guaranteed Brooks will move clubs, but I do think it's nonsense. I mean, I think it's bullshit. It sounds, whether it is or not, it sounds like bullshit. And Berhalter knows it sounds like bullshit, right? This is like, oh, you get a group of friends. They're all, people are coupled up. There's a breakup in the group. One of those people has to drop out of the group. Like, one of those people has to not be around anymore. Unless you're going to get back together, you know, like, oh, sorry, you know, Tina and Billy broke up. Well, Billy's not part of the group anymore. I think that's what we're at.
Right? You want to go text
Billy on the slide, you can do that, but.
Whenever we do our last show ever, I would kind of want to do an episode where it's like U.S. soccer's worst kept secrets. And we just talk about like all the things that no one talks about, and like
I mean, we could talk about we could like meta it, but we're not going to have the details.
Like, nobody's just kill your career. Let's just kill your career.
As much as I love my job and whatever, nobody sends me updates like this is why John Brooks is not getting called in because he crashed his car.
Somebody knows. No,
I know. Somebody knows something for sure. But also, you know, there is that question of like, do we have a right to know? Is that where you're at? We have a right to know. Should we have some hearings? Should we call up Congress?
I just want Greg Berhalter to be straight with us. Everyone looks at. I mean, literally, doesn't everyone roll their eyes when he says that sentence?
No, you're right. And look, there is a part of me, like the fair minded part of me, the part that wants things to be honest. I do agree with you for that. But I just to play devil's advocate a bit here, if you are a coach and airing that hurts your team in other ways, and maybe that's not the case. I don't know, but maybe there's some other morality.
So he's running interference here.
I'm just saying, like if he comes out and says this is why I'm not calling John Brooks, and that outs somebody else for doing something they shouldn't have done, or points to an issue with a relationship in the locker room, and now the media is on that, and that hurts the team and brings more attention to the team in that way. Do you lie about John Brooks, or do you lie about whatever that is?
I mean, we're on what? Reason number three or four for why he's not in here? It's form.
You know what?
It's dedication. Club changing.
I think he's too tall. I think that's what it is, right? He's too tall for the national
team? German.
Too German. Wow. Too many tattoos.
Not me. That's Berhalter saying that, not me.
Too many tattoos. Is that perhaps? He did famously miss a game because he got a tattoo. You know that, right? He's not. He isn't always. Does
that go
the
in the
right
badass
decisions.
Category or just bad?
It's pretty dumb.
I guess it depends what the tattoo was of.
That's a good point. I don't think it was something. I mean, I'm sure it was something badass. He's John Brooks. Like, I wouldn't mess with John Brooks, would you?
No, not at all. Okay, now, Cameron Carter Vickers, real quick. Assuming he ever does enough to have a drop. And his nickname being CCV, right?
What is the drop? I mean, what now?
Do we go CNC Music Factory?
No, we do not do CNC.
Why not?
Because I think that's reserved.
Rock it all night.
That's reserved for when Cade Cowell, Caden, and Caden Clark make the national team together. Oh. And by the way, did you hear about the guy, the other kid? Where's that kid signed? Barcelona or somewhere, right?
Yes, a badass name just along those same lines. Like
Cole
something.
Cole something. I'm like, oh, we're just going to.
All these guys are just like superhero alter ego names.
That's what I'm saying. What's up with that? Why is that a thing we've got going now?
Getting the cock hole. That's going to be his. We already know that.
Getting the cock hole.
Getting the cock hole.
Speaking of Cade Cowell, you've heard that he has the ability to get Mexican citizenship and therefore be eligible for Mexico, right? You've heard that in the past?
Yeah, I've heard that.
Believe his little brother, who's in the Sacramento Republic Academy, has been
Your
called
hometown.
Up to a Mexico. My hometown. I bleeds for Sacramento.
Till you die.
Absolutely. His little brother was on the U-15 Mexico roster that just came out like last week. So, I mean, you know, this is all about the machinations in the games and the dual national thing. And we got Gaga.
I'm told that I don't have to worry. Yeah, I don't have to worry about anyone now because we have Gaga and we got this Malik Tillman kid. I'm told we don't have to worry about anyone. We don't have to worry about Mexico anymore.
We still have to worry. Jonathan Gomez is still out there. Let's make that a thing. We need left backs, Jared. I mean, I don't even care. Like, I'm not for predatory caps. I might be for predatory caps when it comes to left backs. That's my.
You don't believe
in
Anthony Robinson, or you just want depth? Position.
No, I want depth. I want more. I'm like, I want more. Let's go. Let's bring
less backflips. That's what you want?
No, more backflips potentially.
But when he does the backflip and he tears his Achilles, you want to make sure you got someone ready to go.
Yeah. Is there anybody that's healthy that could be? So obviously, no Giovanni Reyna. He is injured. No Serginho Dest. He is injured. I'm surprised a little bit to
Obviously, Pepe's healthy, but not brought in.
A little surprised to see Jedi Robinson. I had heard he might have surgery. I guess that'll have to wait until after this. It's probably a clean out, not necessarily.
Yeah,
a long-term
I think it was
thing.
Knee, wasn't it? If I'm not mistaken.
Yeah. Is there anybody else that's obviously Miles is out? Anybody missing that you thought might be here? That isn't here.
There is no Dest. Yeah, I know. Well,
I
what's
just said
the
he's injured.
For that? Oh, he is injured. I'm sorry.
Yes, he's injured.
No, I mean, I think this is the meme. This is the meme roster, man. You got Joe Scally in there. You got Haji Wright in there. You got Malik Tillman in there. You got George Mihaljevic.
This is the stonk roster. That's what this is. This is the
This is a lot of the players you want to see. Like, but I can't really think of a player that really should be there that isn't right now outside of Brooks. You know, okay. I don't see another one.
I mean,
am I just blanking? Am I forgetting someone?
No,
I don't see it.
I think that the guys that you wanted to see that hadn't really been featured yet are, as you said, Joe Scally, Georgie, Cameron Carter-Vickers, and that Haji Wright, and that might be
There's this one right here. A lot of people want to see Sonora.
Yeah, I'll admit that I have not seen a lot of Sonora play, so I can't speak to that. He has had some good games. I mean, I've seen some highlights and stuff. Jedi already did the scope. Okay, well, that's good. Then it's just a matter of inflammation coming down and him being able to play. So I don't know. I can't talk about Sonora. I can't talk whether or not he's good enough right now.
I'll tell you this. When this roster came out, I remember thinking to myself, like, that looks right. Yeah. I really did. I thought to myself, that looks right. I wasn't mad about anything other than the John Brooks thing a little bit.
It looks right with the caveat that a lot of guys we want to see there are missing because they're hurt. And And here's one. This is actually an interesting shout because we talked about this guy, DeJuan Jones.
DJ Jazzy Jones.
Not involved. Now, that's the depth, right? That's the fullback depth that we were talking about.
That's all right. If you're going to bring Joe Scally in, I think there's
no room for DeJuan Jones.
You already got George Bello in there. You can take three left backs. I mean, four left backs, excuse me. You got Andy Robinson, George Bello, and Joe Scally, who can slide over if necessary.
Well, if you buy into Bello, then you're not bringing DeJuan Jones. I know a lot of people are not real high on George Bello right now. Obviously, his team got relegated, so we don't know exactly what that means for his playing time and future in Germany.
Some people saying Keaton Parks. Throwing Keaton Parks' name out there.
Sure, Keaton Parks is
but that's
is
fringe. It's fringe. It's not necessarily like a.
Well,
who are you going to drop?
Right, you're not taking him over Kellen Acosta or Luca Della Torre or Georgie or Eunice.
Christian Roldan, maybe.
Maybe Christian Roldan, but then you're just trading
you get the
for
feeling
experience.
That Christian Roldan is Berhalter's locker room guy. He almost said it recently.
Yeah.
Yeah, he talked about how the guy's a leader in the locker room.
I think that's probably true. I mean,
you could say maybe with Miles Robinson out, do you revisit Tim Ream? I don't think so.
No.
But the guy had a great season, man.
No, I say no because I think we have moved past Tim Ream. But I don't want people to think that that means I think Tim Ream sucks. I don't think Tim Ream sucks at all. I think he's a really good center back, and he was very good.
I'll say that's the best example of Berhalter actually exercising editing and getting out of his own way, because there was a time where he could not get Tim Ream out of his roster.
Yeah, that's true.
And there came a time at some point where he made the cut. Yeah. Well, now, I'm not sure what was the deal breaker for him.
I think a switch went off in Berhalter's head at some point, and it was basically, screw it, I'm not going to care about age at all anymore. Now, I think he still has a nod or two to experience, and if he has a 28-year-old and a 19-year-old...
When you say doesn't care about age, you mean on the bottom, man, because Tim Ream's going to be 35. It just said in the chat, he's going to be 35 at the World Cup. You mean on the bottom, man.
What I mean is he's not valuing experience over talent is what I'm saying. Okay. Like ability, right? Or the potential. Because he has clearly, and you can see examples all over the roster, you can see it during World Cup qualifying, he has clearly said, you know what, if you are good enough, you're old enough, I'm not going to worry about it. You're 19. This is why you know how they talk about, do you know what the Overton window is, Jared? Do you know what the Overton window is?
No.
Okay, so like when we talk about policy and social issues, the Overton window is sort of the window of acceptable ways of talking about something. And if there have been efforts to move the Overton window, like Progressive want to move the Overton window to the left so they could talk about how we should have universal health care, things like that, right? It's part of whatever the common discourse is. The Overton window on the U.S. men's national team and age has shifted so much towards the young players that now we're like, oh, you're 19. You're playing in the Premier League, or you're playing in the Bundesliga, whatever it is. You absolutely should be in this roster, or we should be giving you a shout. Where, you know, again, 19-year-olds were not a common thing in the national team 5 years ago, 4 years ago, you know, 3 years ago.
Wherever Charles Overton is these days, he has any idea that was named after him, whoever that person was?
I don't know, man. I probably explained it poorly also, so there's always that. All right, we probably don't have anything else deep to get into. I don't know.
Just a shout out to a couple great goals in MLS.
Oh, you want
to
give some more babies?
And Yedlin. I'm sorry, not Yedlin, Legette.
So you want to highlight a couple of New England Revolution goals scored against FC Cincinnati, which is the club of our friend here.
I can't make them be against someone else.
The Buxa goal was they're both very good goals, but I very much enjoyed the Buxa goal. He's not staying. They're going to get 20 mil for that guy. He's gone, right? Gone. Yeah. And then it's going to be on Josie. So we'll
Nicky's
see how
team's going to be fine. Nicky's team's now my team. I'm worried about. What's the score on my team right now? I haven't even been looking.
But that's not this.
Oh my God! They're down 3-0 to freaking Houston.
Wow! And it's over. It's actually over.
I'm telling you, Diego Costa and Kevin Cabral are two of the worst signings ever.
Diego Costa's signing,
dude,
was trash, and people knew it was going to be trash. Why is he playing? Why is he getting any minutes at all?
There's some good parts on that team, but they're just trash.
You're wasting Mark Delgado. Is it Mark or Marco? Which is he going by?
I think it's Marquito.
Yeah, he's not going by Marquito. He's not going to.
Oh,
that
okay.
Either.
It's Mark.
No, he's not, and he doesn't want to be Marky anymore. So I'm just asking
Mark.
You.
It's Mark. Which one? He goes by Mark.
He goes by Mark. So it's Mark Delgado. Okay. I don't know if Nicholas Soup and Salad, beyond being mad at you about the goals and everything, has anything to add to the program. He's shaking his head no. I gave him his opportunity to come on.
Cincinnati loses, he gives him on the air.
I had a couple.
I made the bet a year early.
You did. You made the bet a year early.
I mean, I could definitely eat some Skyline this year.
I wanted to mention, a lot of people in the chat were talking about my jersey, that I needed a seizure warning or something, which I get. It's very TikTok-y. This is the Maryland Bobcats. They're a NISA club. They're in the area.
What's a NISA?
NISA is the nominal in.
It's like the opposite of a nephew.
Socialist.
Nice. Now I'm interested.
Did you get a jersey, Jared?
From who?
This jersey? I bought this jersey, dude. I paid money for this jersey. This is a paid for jersey. This is not a
no markup. No markdown.
They didn't send it
discount for everything.
No. In fact, this came out a while back, and I was like, I really want it, and then I didn't buy it, and they were like, oh, we only got a couple left, and I jumped on it. So I paid.
I didn't know the FC and SiriusXM FC stood for full charge.
Sometimes it does. Sometimes it does not. Mm. Sometimes it, stands
I thought it meant, I thought it stood for free crap.
Man. Yeah. Okay, meanwhile, you're sitting over there trying to look all cool with your rancid shirt. I see how it is. Why am I getting roasted?
I spent $12 of my own money at a vintage store.
Somebody said, what's your favorite Rancid song? That was a question earlier.
Oh, man. Olympia, I think Olympia WA is my favorite Rancid song. But my favorite part of a Rancid song, also on Outcomes of the Wolves, is on Maxwell Murder, the Matt Freeman bass guitar. I think it's one of the best bass guitar solos in any punk rock song ever.
I have no idea, but none of that made any sense to me. Jared, what did you think of the new Kendrick album?
What's a Kendrick? Like Anna Kendrick? She did an album?
No, if she did an album, Nick would probably buy
that. No, I did comment on this a while back. I commented on the new Kendrick album on the Twitter the other day, and I said that I think that if people haven't listened to Saul Williams before, they should go listen to Saul Williams, because I think it's very, very
okay.
Similar.
Influenced.
20 years later.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, all right, fine. That's fine. I don't know. The new Kendrick is fine. It's fine. For him, it's a good album. That's just not, it's whatever. It's not my thing, but that's okay. It's great.
Anything you want to ask me about a new country album? I couldn't tell you about that, I'm sure.
I was going to do that for Nick, but I don't know anybody. I don't know any of the names. I couldn't tell you what the new country albums are. What's the new country album, Nick?
I have no idea.
It's just living in that Garth life, huh?
For the record.
Right. Old school.
I'm not like a super country music fan, but it was Garth. And it is one of those things, you check it off your bucket list.
I like Wayne more. I'm more of a Wayne guy.
This is all on a continuum, right? There's like a spectrum of different. You're like, I'm not a big country music guy. You could name hundreds more country artists than Jared and I could together. So don't act like
that's fair.
You know what I'm saying? Like
that's fair.
You might not be the biggest country fan.
Waylon Jennings. That's a thing, right?
We did that in the bonus show last week. We already did that.
Isn't there a Merle guy?
Yeah, Merle Haggard. Yeah. Well done.
George Jones. All George Jones over there is what I think. Yeah, probably.
That sounds like a soccer English soccer player, George Jones.
Yeah. George Strait and George Jones. Yeah. Okay. If you want to listen to us talk country music on occasion, that's not always the case. The bonus show is available on the Patreon, patreon.com/ The Best Soccer Show. You also get access to the Bestie Slack, which is on fire on a regular basis. Lots of good things happening there. I really do. Jared, I'm such a softie. And maybe it's because I'm a dad.
You try Viagra? Sorry.
You don't even get a drop for that one. I did walk into that, but okay. When I see people in our Slack, like actually expressing the feelings they had, their friendship, like I love you, bro, stuff like that. Mm-hmm. It's not just guys either; it's everybody. It really does make me happy that we have this show, that we're doing this again, and that we have that community. just wanted to say that.
Impotence jokes aside, I agree.
Okay, yeah. Thanks for that. Thanks for making a joke at my expense. Patreon.com/thebestsoccershow. Leave us a rating and review on iTunes. I think it's been a while since we've added to those numbers. We'd like to do that again, obviously, as we get national team games back in June. We should be doing some extra stuff around that. I think we got to work the schedule out. There's always, radio responsibilities.
WNBC.
That's a thing. And, that's anything else, Mr. Dubois. Anything else to share for the people?
That's all I got. Shout out to Nikki Soup and Salad and the Slack. Patreon.
One more time for Morgan Tensa, please. One more time, Jared.
Oh. Kemakavika.
There it is.
Become best friends.
Yep. The Sausage King of Chicago.
It was there.
Here we go. Saucing him up. Hit him. Hit him. What?
Go to DEFCON 2.
Oh, baby!
You shut your mouth when you're talking to me.
Playing hot dogs and donuts with two fangirls in the locker room.
Get to the chopper!
Eddie, what have you done for me, Eddie?
What are we doing?
Oh, it's incredible! Oh, it's incredible!
Oh, and you caught dead in a sweater vest.
Michael freaking Orozco Fiscal.
Jay Rodius.